One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss them, share our little feelings about them, and then make those characters fight for our and hopefully your amusement. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, is Ken Knapsack.
I am here, my friend. Post-Rogue One world that we live in.
This is an exciting place to be, because, of course, our little podcast here is all about fighting. And Rogue One had a lot of fighting in it. It had a lot of fighters.
Rogue One is fight. It is a fight.
Rogue One is fight.
Rogue One is fight.
So there's just so many characters to choose from as you're watching the movie. Now I am slavishly dedicated to the concept of this podcast, which is databank. And the StarWars.com databank on the website is not fully updated at all. It's got the main characters,
yeah,
and not a lot of the side characters.
That's interesting. But I get maybe they don't want to spoil fans who are wandering around the website, haven't seen the movie yet, or
yeah.
Maybe they're all so busy seeing early screenings they haven't been able to log into the website and update it.
That's right. They just want us to go by the visual dictionary.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do a visual dictionary brawl at some point. but it is databank brawl. And I was also, my first out of the gate, this is of course going to be a Rogue One fight, and out of the gate,
I wanted to use Bastan the Space Monkey.
Right.
But Jennifer could not be here for this recording, and I will not fight Bastan without Jennifer here.
You just can't.
Yeah, so if you're long-term listeners of Force Center, we, of course, love Bastan the Space Monkey. Mm-hmm. He will fight. But not today.
Not today.
So instead, we get to explore the data bank in other interesting ways. Our first combatant is another creature who got featured a decent amount in the promotion behind the scenes. Isn't featured a ton in the movie, and that is Moroth.
Okay.
Yeah, Moroth, the weird white-haired creature guy thing that kind of looks like Chewie, looks real tough, didn't do a lot in the film, but oh, he's going to do a lot today. Here is what StarWars.com databank has to say about him. Moroth seeks out combat zones in the galaxy to sell his brawn and firepower to anyone who might need it. Not interested in the details of the Empire versus Rebels conflict, the mighty Gigoran mercenary figures there's money to be made for a towering heavy gunner of great strength.
Wow.
So he is what we would have called back in the day a bounty hunter.
Bounty Hunter sounds a little bit like a sell sword from Game of Thrones.
Oh, absolutely.
Going
yeah.
around, got a sword, I'll sell it.
Yeah.
Okay, I like this character a lot.
Yeah, he's visually very interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, in the movie, we just kind of see him taking along with Saw Gerrera's crew.
Mm-hmm.
This supports that Saw Gerrera was not really down with the rebels themselves.
Right.
And was hiring big, vicious, brutish creatures. Mm-hmm. To work for him. What is can you describe physically what he looks like?
He looks like if you're riding the Matterhorn at Disneyland, and then you get to the center, and there is the Abominable Snowman.
Maybe he's just upset because he has a loose tooth.
Yeah. Loose tooth. He is very tall, and height is not listed here yet.
Okay.
Very tall, got that heavy gun, man. Looks like he took it off the side of a helicopter in a Rambo movie.
Okay.
big backpack. He's got a mask on. Again, all white, long white fur hair. Looks like a little bit like a Wampa.
There's, okay.
It's like maybe he's like a Wampa cousin or something.
Oh,
you
like
know?
like a Wampa and a Wookiee made beautiful love.
Oh, my.
And made a Moroth.
Oh, my. I didn't think about that.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to think about that anymore, but that kind of looks exactly what happened. It is a Wampa Wookiee. A wonky.
Oh.
A Wompkey. That's what he looks like. He's got a breathing apparatus or a mask or something. It's kind of unclear. He's good. He kind of looks, he looks like a cute little furry thing too.
Yeah.
If he was in little tiny puppy form, you'd be like, come here, Moroth.
But now you're like that Pokemon. Yeah.
That guy's dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? It's a voice translator box. Is that what you said it is?
No, it doesn't say in databank.
Okay.
I think it looks like a breathing apparatus thing, right?
Well, on again the wilds of Wikipedia.
Yeah, let's go there.
It says. Yeah, Entertainment Weekly called it a voice translator box.
So Wikipedia is quoting Entertainment Weekly.
Right.
That's how dubious our sources yes. are at this point.
We are deep down in the world of fake news. We got a voice translator box.
So this is fascinating territory to be in. You know, we officially pull from the databank, and then we find fun things on the wilds of Wikipedia and decide whether to use them or not.
Yeah.
Old characters, they have all of the ridiculous backstory of what happened to the third knuckle of Momon Adun. But a brand new character like this on Moroth,
yeah.
Is there anything on Wikipedia? Or is it just like he's there?
That's it. This article is a stub. Can you help Wikipedia by expanding it?
Wow.
Maybe we can put the results of this databank brawl in this Wikipedia article.
If you're listening and you're an editor of Wikipedia, put in their legend section, fights from databank brawl, and see how that goes over. So we always talk about how we feel about these characters, too.
Yeah.
Coming into the movie, then seeing that he basically was a background character, what do you think about Moroth?
I loved the character coming in. Maybe not as much as Jennifer did going into the movie. But again, one of the things that just like makes sense in the Star Wars galaxy, an interesting new alien to see, and really was looking forward to him. Yep, not in it a lot. You see him basically walking once, and that's fine. It could be disappointing, but there's so many of those creatures that you could have seen more of that we didn't. And
yeah.
And that's just what it is. You don't want to have it. It's not the Moroff movie, so I get it. Maybe he shows up again in a little side spot. Maybe he ends up in Rebels. Maybe in Rebels we get to see Saw Gerrera in animated form again at some point.
That'd be great.
And you got him down there. Yeah. So I do want to see more of him, but, you know, happy we have a picture of him to look at.
Yeah. I'm down with definitely seeing how Saw met Moroff for sure. And got, it's such a fascinating time where creators of Star Wars grew up with it and knew that, people are going to obsess with characters that are just in the background. But it's weird then when they make movies and just put them in the background, lead with them publicity wise to show the exotic aliens, and then choose to put them in the background instead of even giving them that sort of like one just sort of glory shot of here's Moroff. I will say, for personal sort of memories, he comes in a two-pack. There's an action figure of Moroff. He comes in a two-pack. I'm forgetting right now who he comes with. But he's one of those action figures that is such a big, bulky alien. When you pick up the package of the action figure, you can tell the difference in the weight of the action figure. Of like,
Wow.
It was like picking up a Gamorrean Guard action figure of like, there's more plastic.
Yeah.
This weighs more.
Interesting.
Than General Madine. And Moroff, like, he weighs more than the other characters. Yeah. So there's some weight to him.
I like it.
So, yeah, we'll have to infer a lot about his character. He's brawn, firepower, not interested in the details of the conflict. He is going to be fighting about a character who is featured in Rogue One, but is a legacy character who we knew ahead of time, and that is General Jan Dodonna.
Oh, wow.
So this is so his inclusion in Rogue One is so minty fresh. His databank has not been updated.
Yeah.
So this is what the current StarWars.com databank has to say about him. General Jan Dodonna served as the military leader of the rebel base on Yavin 4. The veteran officer devised the daring plan to penetrate the Death Star's defenses with starfighters and then directed the attack on the battle station's vulnerable thermal exhaust port. So, again, not a lot about his character. We can infer some things about his character based on the way they write about him. The data bank is canon. So he devised the daring plan. So So now we know, Rogue One spoilers for anybody listening, now we know that Galen Erso did indeed design the flaw. He didn't design how to exploit it, so I guess we're giving credit to General Jan Dodonna for being the one of like, oh, this is how we can trigger this thing that he devised.
Right. Wow. Okay.
How are you feeling about old?
I'm on Wikipedia trying to catch in, and I talked about it on a Spotlight Star Wars. I've always liked Jan Dodonna as a character, just like, who is this guy? And you kind of learn bits and pieces of him here in canon now. I love his appearance in the Leia comic Marvel. He kind of forbids her to leave Yavin 4 and all this kind of stuff right after. Some of the stuff, you know, she wants to go, it deals with Leia and her Alderaanian coming to terms with the destruction of Alderaan.
Right.
He's in there, too. So when he's in this movie, and, you know, it's so funny, I really kind of didn't, I overlooked it thinking of it, but Ian McElhenney, I believe is how you say his name, is portrays him in Rogue One, and he is Barristan Selmy in Game of Thrones.
Right, no, very noble knight.
Yeah,
right.
a hall to die in, one of my favorite lines. And I love Barristan, and so I love the actor who plays him, and I kind of overlooked it, and when he popped up, I was like, oh yeah oh, this is gonna be awesome. And I didn't get a lot of Dodonna. He's just sitting there like, yeah, I guess we should quit.
I can't remember exactly what he says, but he says a downer thing.
It's a little disappointing to me, but he still has a great place in the Star Wars universe.
Absolutely.
And, of course, is the first one to say on screen, may the Force be with you. Force be with you. I've had a long day of talking. So I think there's something cool about that, too.
Yeah. And I think there's interesting conflicts in his character now, because he's the one who suggests in A New Hope that it was hubris that caused the flaw in the Death Star. And again, you have to infer that. It's not stated blatantly, but the person says, you know, what good is a snub fighter? And he's like, well, the Empire doesn't consider them, or they would have been more careful. I can't remember exactly how he says it. But he's the one who introduces the idea that's now a little bit in contrast with Rogue One, that the flaw in the Death Star is hubris as opposed to planned. We now have it on the table. I'm bringing this up because it's character-based. We now have it on the table that he's maybe in A New Hope taking a little bit more credit then he should.
I think that's canon.
Yeah, I think it's canon.
I think that's canon.
He knew
I'm good with that.
Damn well that Galen Erso is the one who came up with that, and he doesn't say any of that in the briefing. He makes it all about Jan Dodonna and his plan he has devised. Physical appearance.
He's older. He's been around the galaxy a lot. Of course, he's mentioned in Rebels as well when they steal the Y-Wings, and Harrison Dula says, we have orders to deliver these bombers to General Dodonna's unit. They're part of a wider rebellion we're working to build. So he's ingrained with Star Wars, so therefore he has a good old classic Star Wars look. He's been around a while. White hair, big white beard. He's got the beige jacket with a weird kind of rebel ranking system, which looks like Dayquil packs on their chests there. And he's got that old classic big giant leather belt with a silver belt buckle, but he looks stern. He's always looked stern. You know, he's got a lot of weight on his shoulders.
Yeah, I like the interpretation that is the rebel insignia, but they're also edible. Like those are little snacks.
Yeah,
if he wants to freshen up his breath before a briefing,
he
can pop one of those. All right, any other thoughts or feelings about Jan Dodonna before we do this?
No, other than he's always been kind of one of my little favorite characters. So let's see what we could do here.
All right, in that case, let us fight.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So Where are they meeting? When are they meeting? Always the first question of Databank Brawl. Believe sure. that this we would want this to be pre-Rogue One?
I've got a plan to make it post.
Post-Rogue One. All right.
Post-Rogue One, right. Post-New Hope. Follow me. You can always overrule me. This is your show, Joseph. But following the Battle of Yavin, there was a lot of panic in the Rebellion, a lot of escape, a lot of evacuations. If you read that comic, that's where the comic starts, moments after they destroy the Death Star. Akbar's there. No Raddus, no Admiral Raddus, because we, you know, he's maybe still on his ship, hopefully still alive, drinking in a corridor.
I think he's on that ship with Vader, and I think,
not a good thing. You're probably right. I keep hope alive when it comes to Admiral Raddus. Anyways, Dodonna and everyone, they've got to evacuate. So I think he takes off into the galaxy. And as we saw in Rogue One on Jeddah, Jeddah City destroyed, but the planet itself was not destroyed, and a lot of Saw Gerrera's men were running and leaving and getting to their ships. We didn't necessarily see a lot of them escape, but that doesn't mean they didn't.
Well, we know this is character, that he is not interested in the details of the Empire versus Rebels conflict. He wants to make money, he wants to live. So I'm down with that.
Yeah, he's down, he's out. So I think post-New Hope, between Empire, these guys are running around the galaxy. And I think Dodonna and his rebel crew in a small ship, a small Corvillian corvette, landed on a planet. I'm still trying to search for that planet. And Dodonna says, I need to slow down. I need to go get a drink.
Okay.
And that's where he runs into Moroff.
Okay.
Haven't determined the planet yet. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's say Felucia. I don't think we've been to Felucia a lot.
Okay.
Felucia is a fun planet.
Yeah.
Fun, weird jungle plants that can grab you. But I think you're going to a watering hole for.
I think that's Dodonna's plan. It doesn't mean that he ends up there.
Yeah, I think what has happened is that I think that there has actually been a bounty put out on rebel leaders.
I like that.
And I think that maybe Palpatine, whoever's making these decisions, maybe it's Vader. Maybe Vader after Empire is like, you know what, bounty hunters, they're pretty great. And Vader's thinking, I'm sick of being made a fool of. He sees a little data pad holo entry of General Jan Dodonna. It's like, this bearded Santa Claus looking MF-er, he's been causing me a problem. I'm gonna send a bounty hunter of just like, he's wanted for embarrassing Vader, basically. Vader wouldn't put it that way. But Vader's had it with like just these sad old, maybe, who knows, maybe back in the day Dodonna's around long enough, maybe he was lippy to Anakin Skywalker back in the Clone Wars, even.
Right.
He's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
I think Vader's mad, he's just taken some people off the table. So he, Moroff answers the call.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the war. The war's been going on. The war is kind of good for business, but not really. The Empire, he claims he doesn't care, but the Empire messes everything up, right?
Right, and the Empire kind of gave Moroff, you know, things were simpler. It was black and white. Empire, you know, and then the people they're trying to take out. So Empire had some good jobs, these new rebels, but, you know, he was with Saw. Saw probably understood that it was okay. I'm going to pay this guy to get my means met, you know?
Yeah.
The rebellion, the official rebellion, the rebel army, not going to do that with Moroff. They're maybe too far above that. So yeah, it's a convoluted, a lot of feelings of Moroff's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. About what's going on and what Dodonna might represent.
Yeah. He wants to get back to basics and make some money. He's got a big blaster. He can breathe on Felucia because he's got his mouth thing. Don't know exactly what Moroff sounds like, but I think, I think Dodonna is wanting, a drink. He wants to think through. Okay. He's thinking through his past. He's feeling maybe a little guilty about all of the fighters he sent to their death.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking credit for some things that he maybe shouldn't.
Right.
He's feeling guilty, and he thinks, I'm going to get on my speeder, and I'm just going to go have a drink by myself.
Okay.
Moroff's thrilled. He can't believe he's caught Dodonna going off through Felucia to one of the cities. And he's going to be able to catch this guy.
Right.
And I think Moroff says something to himself. We have no idea what Moroff sounds like. I can't remember. Maybe he grunts in the movie?
Maybe he grunts because we don't have that translator box on ourselves. We can't hear. We can't understand him. But I think he's like.
I like that. I like that. He might he might have an eloquent voice, but through the speaker, it comes off mm-hmm. like an angry person eating cheese curds.
Yes, definitely. A lot of cheese curds.
So he's barking to himself, and I think, do you think he moves fast?
No, Moroff is very lumbering.
Okay.
I took that from Rogue One. He's stomping along.
He's a stomper. Okay, yeah. So he's got to have a speeder bike, too.
Yeah, he's got some kind of ride.
Yeah, he's got a ride.
Not so much of a speeder bike, but more of like a speeder, like an old-style Tatooine.
Like a land speeder, yeah.
Yeah,
you know what? That's good, because land speeders used to be the rage across the galaxy, and now mm-hmm. we hardly hear about them. So I think he gets in an old-school land speeder, not one of these newer models.
No.
An old-school one, just like Luke's.
Yeah.
Not even great for Felucia, because there's a bunch of jungles in the
jungle
plants in the way.
Humid, big, giant mushrooms. Yeah.
But Moroff is a big, burly bruiser, so he is smashing vegetation. He is an enemy of the environment. He is smashing these plants coming straight at Dodonna. And I think Dodonna doesn't even, he barely hears it coming, smashing through all the vegetation. And I think Moroff starts by just ramming him.
Ramming the speeder.
Ramming the
Dodonna speeder bike.
Moroff rams like Dodonna, the headlines would say.
Like that. Dodonna just kind of tumbles to the side. He's still on the speeder. He kind of doesn't quite know. He's like, I didn't have a drink yet. What's going on? What do I see? He turns around, he looks, and he sees Moroff driving with one hand and trying to get his big giant blaster set up onto the windshield to take a shot.
Oh, yeah. I did steady his big monstrous hand. Yeah. And I think Dodonna is he is obviously good at strategy.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I think he scans his environment.
He analyzes that he's in a bad spot.
Yeah, and I think he comes up with a plan he's going to try to execute. Do you have an idea on what the plan is?
I think, like he showed in Rogue One, sometimes you need to run away. And he gets on that speeder or gets back settled on it and then takes off.
Okay. I'm going to add one little thing to that.
Yep.
I think that he is strategic enough to know that, yes, escape is good, but mm-hmm. I think he also knows that he needs to take some little action.
Yeah.
So I think as he spins out on the speeder, he rips a big plant down mm-hmm. and throws it behind him. So basically banana peels on Moroff's shade, on Moroff's land speeder.
And Moroff gets a shot off with that gun. Finally.
Oh, okay.
But because the banana peel effect, it hits everywhere. Blaster damage everywhere. That bar we didn't even get to step into. Boom, 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 just up against the wall. There's some people inside going, What is that? It's the Ayla Secura Memorial Bar.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Everyone's just like, oh, not again. Order 67 now. But Dodonna's off.
Yeah.
And the Moroff recovers and he's off as well.
He's off. He pulls the shade and now it's a chase, right?
Yes.
And now I think Dodonna probably has like a little ankle blaster with him. Like a little something, right?
Yeah, he wouldn't go undefended at all. So he's trying, it's like a little scout gun almost.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a shot off behind him.
Yeah, I think he's firing wildly behind him. This is not going well.
Right.
As he's driving, he's thinking through the highlights of the Jan Dodonna reel.
Yeah.
And he knows the lesson he learned from the Death Star is everything has a weakness. So I think he's analyzing what could be that monster's weakness.
Yeah.
And I think he hasn't quite got it yet. And I think Moroff realizes if we keep this to a vehicle-to-vehicle thing, we can be evenly matched. So this needs to be personal.
Yeah.
So I think Moroff gets up on the hood of the land speeder.
Right.
I think he reaches his big monster pod down there, slaps the land speeder into like just go position. He's riding that hood. It's really cool looking, actually.
Riding that hood, high on jet juice.
And he comes zooming up, catching up to Dodonna. And I think he jumps onto the speeder with Dodonna.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Land speeder goes flying out of control. It starts flipping.
Yeah.
This is a Fast and Furious Felucia edition.
Right.
This is Fast and Felucia.
Yeah. The fate of the Felucia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That land speeder, boom, 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 it's exploding. That's just another thing that Dodonna's going to own, you know, owe to Moroff. Pay him back for his land speeder. So now Dodonna's really in trouble because Moroff is very, very strong. He sells his brawn and his firepower.
Right.
So I think he's strong. And I think he is tired of everybody talking about how tough Wookiees are. Nobody's ever talking about how tough Gagorans are.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I'm going to prove that we can do cool things too. I'm going to try to rip not his arm out of his socket, but his leg.
Okay.
Just get the word out. Yeah, that's everybody says that about Wookiees. Oh, they'll rip your arm out of your socket. It's like, all right, well, Gagorans need something.
Yeah.
We'll rip your legs out of the socket.
We got the legs.
We got the legs.
Hashtag
the cry of the Gorn.
Hashtag we got legs. all right, so he's trying to pull Londo down.
He reaches down and he actually just like starts to yank on his leg, that's gotta hurt. So Dodon is thinking fast. What does he do?
Well, he's kicking. He's scrambling, he's fighting along. I think he analyzes this beast on him, and he says, well, there seems to be only one weakness. That thing attached to his mouth looks like it's attached pretty hard. It could be with matted fur. It could be connected. So I'm going to concentrate my kicks on that.
Okay.
And he does, and he just whacks Morph right in the face with the heel of his rebel-issued boots.
Okay, so I like this, that Dodonna, while advanced in age, is more athletic than it would appear.
Yes.
He's getting one leg pulled, and then he uses the other leg to kick Morph in the mask.
Yeah.
Right in the breathing apparatus.
Right in the voice translator breathing apparatus box.
Yeah. And, I think Dodonna is huffing and puffing, and so is Morph.
Oh, yeah. Dodonna hasn't fought like this in a long time.
It's an amazing, you would be very disturbed to just overhear these noises and not know what's going on.
Yeah.
So that brutal rebel boot to the breathing apparatus, what does it do? Does it dislodge it?
It dislodges it halfway.
Okay, so it cracks off a little bit. Motted, sweaty flesh that's covering his mouth. Does he have breathing problems right away? Does Morph start choking?
Well, he's gasping. Felucia's very humid and dense.
Yeah.
It's a jungle environment. So there, he's not, and he's hot. This Gagoran fur is just, I don't know if they sweat or not, but whatever the equivalent it is, Morph is doing that.
Right, this
profusely.
Is the smell of a million wet dogs, right?
Oh, it's bad stuff. So he is definitely distracted. He lets go of Dodonna's leg, and he tries to put back the voice box back on.
Okay.
That causes Dodonna to get up and run, and he's running away as best
as he can. Okay, so the speeder has... He stopped the speeder. Yeah, I think maybe even he did like a roll.
Yeah. Stop, drop, and roll.
So in more office, stopping the speeder. I think maybe Dodonna is saying to himself, has a lucky shot. He's stronger. And now I'm wounded because he didn't pull my leg all the way out of the socket, but something's messed up.
He's not good.
Dodonna's limping.
This isn't like chiropractic work. It's bad.
Yeah. This is not chiropractic work. Yeah. There are some pops that should not pop.
Yeah.
And he's thinking for just a second, like, I am an inspiring rebel leader. I can't make it away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can at least distract him with some speechifying about the glory of the Alliance.
Yeah.
Not even a rebellion in his mind anymore. Because
it's an alliance.
They've been fighting for a while now, and he prefers the term alliance because he's about making everything better. He's not just against the Empire. He's about making everything better.
Yeah.
So can you give us just like a little taste of Dodonna's
speech? Yeah. Look, man, if I can call you that, but the Alliance takes all kinds, so it does not matter. We are here for a bigger cause. We are here to take down the evil of the Empire, and it takes all kinds. If money is what you want, I see that you're a sellsword. I'll tell you what, we'll give you all the Republic credits you need, but son, you need to join a cause outside of yourself, and we at the Alliance, we will give you a cause to die for.
Yeah. Now, does this move Morph at all?
No, he's pissed off.
Okay. I think he opens up with the heavy blaster. He hates that damn conflict. Dodonna, once again, he dives, he rolls, plants are exploding. He's getting singed in the shoulder.
Yeah.
It's looking really bad for Dodonna. He peeks up for just a second, and he sees that Morph had to pause in firing because he can't keep that mask on. And Dodonna says, aha, the mouth.
Yes.
And I think he takes his rebel insignia, he pops one of the breath mints off, and he realizes, if I can get the monster close enough, I can try to make it choke on one of my little...
on my lozenge.
on my space lozenge. So I think he knows that Moroff would probably want to take him alive.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think he stands up. He is wounded. He's messed up.
Yeah.
His beard is just all mottled. His beard looks like Moroff's body at this point.
Very similar. Yeah.
And he puts his hands up. He's like, all right. I surrender, but you need to come to me. I can barely walk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Moroff marches up.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, you and I need to decide who we want to win.
Yeah.
If Dodonna's stratagem will work or if Moroff's brute strength will triumph.
Moroff certainly has the favorite odds here, but Dodonna deserves to live more. He may have not lied, but embellished his accomplishments at times to get himself far into the alliance, but he still means well.
Yeah.
And his cell is one of the bigger cells. So I think he is too valuable to the cause for the galaxy to take Dodonna. And
right.
Moroff hasn't really chosen a side. He's just chosen himself.
Right.
So I think Dodonna deserves to win.
So this needs to be a message of hope.
Yes.
Dodonna deserves to win.
Yes.
All right. I agree. I think Moroff probably has him physically beat.
Yeah.
But Dodonna's got a big old brain on him.
Yeah.
So I think that is going to take the day.
Yes.
So I think that Moroff does approach.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dodonna's desperate gambit works. If he does shove a lozenge in, Moroff chokes a little bit. But what do you think happens next? What's the coup de grace? How does this battle come to its final beats?
Well, I don't know if you know this, if you played Star Wars Force Unleashed, but they go to Felucia.
Oh, nice.
Shaak Ti and Maris Brood are hiding there.
Oh,
Jedi's in exile, and Starkiller's sent there to fight them, and you do. There is a supersized Sarlacc there.
Really?
And it is just sitting there in Felucia. And I think Dodonna is unaware that he's worked himself over that way. So while Moroff is choking, Dodonna suddenly hears a sound, and he looks. And the giant tentacles of this supersized Sarlacc are in the air. Dodonna's like, I thought those were trees. So Dodonna moves to the side, and Moroff struggles, chokes, and runs right into one of the tentacles.
Oh, he gets grabbed.
Grabbed, pulled into the Sarlacc.
I think that's great.
Moroff is killed by the supersized Sarlacc after choking on a lozenge taken from the Rebel insignia. And ranking of Dodonna. So that's how I propose it ends. I don't know if you buy
I think
off
that's great.
That.
No, I do. I love the this story of choking within choking, because then I think the Sarlacc chokes a little bit on Moroff.
Yeah.
Gets him down eventually.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would add, I think that's a perfect ending.
Mm-hmm.
I think the tentacle grabs Moroff's leg. It pounds him down to the ground. It drags him in his desperate attempt to Moroff's desperate attempt to he's scratching at the ground. He's pulling. He gets a hold of Dodonna's leg. He gives it another little tug, which realigns it and actually gets it back in the right place for Dodonna.
Crack.
Crack. Oh, like a chiropractor.
Like a chiropractor.
And then he's released and he's sucked into the belly of the beast. And Dodonna gets up and is like, my hip feels a little better.
Feels good.
Hope.
Hope. Fade out. Fade up. Back on the Republic Corvette. The rebel ship, I should say. Dodonna's there with his men. General, what's wrong? You look beat up. He's like, I ran into a foe. My life was in danger, but I had a strategy to lead him to a Sarlacc, and of my own choosing, I sent him over there, and he died at the hands of myself with the assistance of this Sarlacc. Oh, you're such a... Oh, General, you're the
amazing.
Best. You're the best. Let's have a drink. I'm good for now.
And he was forever known as General Jan. I meant to do that, Dodonna. That's great. He finally gets his drink and the admiration of his crew. That is awesome. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for this first fairly brutal Rogue One fight. There will be many more Rogue One fights. There's so many great characters, so many side characters that we can play with. And I think
so many
a great part of this show. If you just happen to be tuning in for the first time, part of it is we love coming up with these ridiculous fights. But it's also just like a fun, dumb way to learn about the characters, to learn what StarWars.com databank says about them. Mm-hmm. Dodonna's in this interesting point where he hasn't been updated with his Rogue One
stuff. Has not.
Wikipedia doesn't know anything about Morov.
It is
an exciting time to be a Star Wars pedant and want to know absolutely everything. And we thank you that you come to listen to their ridiculous fights and learn a little bit more about the weird side characters that we love. Ken, where can people find you?
You can find me writing my Jen Dodonna fan fiction and publishing pieces of it online at Catnapsock, N-A-P-Z-O-K.
Excellent. And you guys, if you want to see specific people fight on Databank Brawl, the best thing to do is tweet at us and use the hashtag Databank Brawl so it's nice and searchable. You can suggest matchups, but we love to hear about characters that you would like to see. We were very lucky. People had been asking for Red Leader, and then he showed up in Rogue One. So that was our previous episode.
That was awesome.
Utter Rogue One tie-in. It worked out really, really well. So find us there and give us your suggestions. You can find me on all the social medias at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter is at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said, while no one was really listening to him, I care. That's it for Databank Brawl.